What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Big Q representing Boy TV. This is gonna be Sunday's best episode number 5, NFL week 9. We're just getting across that halfway point, kicking off the second half of the season, which means that in this particular episode, we got a couple things we're gonna talk about, including, like we did on the live show last night, we took our very first look at this year's playoff picture. We're gonna do that again tonight on the show. We'll be able to check it out and see what it looked like, who's in, who's out, who's on the bubble, who's causing some ruckus out there trying to, change the way, the order of things, and who solidified their spot and ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? So there's some people who ain't going nowhere and they're going to stick there and keep their spot going. Unfortunately, the COVID-19 situation is still running rampant and we still got to deal with it. And it's still a thing that we got to deal with in the NFL. Although precautions have been made, there have been things, constituencies, to combat this terrible, epidemic, pandemic. But, we got some situation that we got to talk about. We will talk about it. Also, JJ Watt, he has some things to say about the performance and the situation that his team is in right now. We're going to talk about that, too. I think it's going to be interesting to see the comments that JJ Watt made about the situation that that Houston Texans are in right now. And then we had a big discussion last week about the Miami Dolphins and Brian Flores' decision to start Tua Tagovailoa over Ryan Fitzpatrick in the middle of all that. Now he got to backtrack and he got to, be clear about his decision. We'll talk about that as well. And of course, we're going to talk about the game starting tonight. We have a game tonight, bounce back game for the Green Bay Packers or whatever. And, we will have a game tonight and we're going to talk about the picks going forward for the weekend. We kick off the NFL week right here on Sunday's Best. So let's get into it and let's see what we got going on right now. So, the first thing we want to do is we're going to go ahead and get into the first story about, the COVID-19 situation that's been brewing. And it's something that's been going on in the NFL for quite a while. And it's something that we've been having to kind of, deal with. And deal with it we shall. So, and of course, nothing slows down the NFL machine. The NFL machine is going to keep rolling, COVID or no COVID. But unfortunately, a few clubs had to shut down, their facilities this week. Starting, with the Chicago Bears and Kansas City Chiefs. They became the latest NFL teams to shutter their facilities Thursday due to a positive coronavirus test. In a statement, the Bears said they were notified of players testing positive Thursday morning and paused all in-person activities at Hallis Hall, canceling practice. The player who tested positive and all close contacts have been contacted and have already begun self-isolation. That's what the Bears said when they made their first statement. They also said, we will continue to work closely with the NFL medical experts and follow the league's intensive protocol. The health and safety of our team, players, and staff are the highest priority. Chicago is scheduled to face the Tennessee Titans in Nashville on Sunday. We'll see if that game remains on the schedule. If not, it will be the second game this season that has been moved for the Tennessee Titans, right? In other news dealing with the coronavirus, the Chiefs also revealed a staff member tested positive, announcing the team will still practice Thursday, but will conduct meetings virtually later in the day. The closures at Kansas City and Chicago follow earlier news that the Indianapolis Colts conducted its meetings virtually after a staff member tested positive. The team still held practice outside. So the Houston Texans also shut down their facilities for the second straight week after a player's positive test. Linebackers Jacob Martin, Whitney Marcellus, Dalen Cole were all placed on the COVID-19 reserve list and will miss Sunday's game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they don't stop there. When you think that's all it is when it comes to COVID news, the Philadelphia Eagles also on Thursday reported a positive COVID-19 test for a player. The Eagles are on their bye week, were in their facility on Wednesday. The pandemic's impact will be a further felt by the league during Thursday night football as key players on the Green Bay Packers and San Francisco 49ers will be out due to either positive test or contact tracing. So this thing is real, man. And, it's been disrupting the season so far. Right? So far it's been games moved, games canceled, games, kind of switched back on the put on a bye week and things like that. And again, there's some controversy surrounding it. There is that. And I said this on Team Boy TV Live multiple times since week three, that I think is the only reason why the Pittsburgh Steelers are still undefeated right now is because they got an assist from COVID-19. I do believe that if they had played that game in Tennessee on week three, you know, the outcome would the Steelers still be undefeated at this point? You know, a lot of people say yes because they are the lone undefeated team in the NFL right now. But I just feel like the COVID-19 robbed the Titans of their momentum. So when it was time to finally play that game, I think it got moved from week three to week six. I think it was week five or week six. And, you know, it wasn't the same, you know, and the Tennessee Titans did not, they looked like they had no momentum. The Pittsburgh Steelers steamrolled them. You know what I mean? And I'm just saying, you know, you can look at it the way you want to. If that game hadn't been moved, who knows what the outcome would have been. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. I'm just saying that is one game that that was heavily impacted by COVID-19, and I think the Steelers benefited from it. I'm just saying. I just believe that's what that was, right? And we'll see how this affects like other squads going forward. You know, I also want to send my condolences out to the to the San Francisco 49ers, man. If they got like, do they even have enough people to have a starting lineup? I mean, everybody is out. The injuries to the Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, Ayuk, a bunch of other ones, man. It's a very sad situation that gets brewing in San Francisco right now. Also, you know, the seriousness of it kind of bubbles over because I do believe that this is the fourth season in a row for one young Jimmy Garoppolo, and he has yet to finish a season and playing all 16 games for the season, and this is a problem, you know, for San Francisco. Now the good thing is, you know, they didn't get caught up in the money situation where like the Garoppolo thing wasn't a money trap. They don't really, like, if they decide to part ways with him at the end of the season, they're not going to, you know, get hit for a loss or nothing like that. He ain't got no guarantees coming his way. But I don't know. I just got a feeling, you know, we will see. They'll probably go back to him toward the end of the, you know, as we go along in the season. And if he would have to do something spectacular to be brought back, I think, next year. I think, you know, the plan should be on the table right now. Like, how do we get away from Jimmy Garoppolo? You know, how do we trade him? Do we cut him? Do we release him? I don't know. But the plan should be moving away from Jimmy Garoppolo. If you San Francisco, you know, I just don't think you can build around Garoppolo. He's proven that he can't stay healthy. He won't stay healthy. And then when he is healthy, you know, you can't really depend on him in high pressure, big game situations. So, you know, if I'm San Francisco, I'm thinking of something else. I'm trying to figure out where to go at this point because, you know, it ain't working out. It just is not working out. And, you know, and the thing that's sad about it is that San Francisco, just a few years removed, were in a title contention. You know what I mean? That ain't the case right now. Like there's some serious stuff going on in San Francisco. They're gonna have to work that out, and I think they're gonna have to start it. Like, you know, they're building a nice little roster. They got to do something with the quarterback position. Jimmy Garoppolo is not the answer. He's not gonna be the answer that we're looking for. I don't think we're gonna be able to use Jimmy Garoppolo like that. Now, moving on. You know, speaking of, you know, people kind of, you know, getting a reality check. You know, let's talk about one J.J. Watt, right? So J.J. Watt, you know, he looking at his team like, and like y'all know the backstory. J.J. Watt is, you know, straight up Houston Texan. You know, he's been the face of that franchise for a hot minute. You know, during a couple of years ago when the hurricane stuff happened, he happened to step up and donate all his money to the cause and all good stuff. He's been a diehard representative of that club, you know, and I would give him props for that. But, you know, the recent developments, I mean, like, look at the state of the Houston Texans at the moment. Oh, very sad state of affairs. You know, started out 1-6. You know, they ended up having to fire their coach. All kind of weird. So they traded away one of the best weapons that they had before the coach got fired. One bright spot, they still got Deshaun Watson as their quarterback. They got sold a bill of goods with that Watkins trade. You know, we got, you know, David Johnson in return. Although the tread been worn off those tires. Bill O'Brien made a huge mistake, you know, during that whole situation, because not only was he the head coach of the team, he was also serving as general manager. So he pulled the trigger on that Sammy Watkins trade and all that. So, you know, it was a mess. And, you know, of course the team was another team that was just right there in the thick of things just a couple seasons ago. I think 2 years ago, they were vying for the AFC championship and, you know, gets, you know, smacked around by the New England Patriots or whatever the case may be. But a serious fall from grace. So the Houston Texans are nowhere near at the strength that they were, you know, just 3 seasons ago. And I think it's affecting their main star, J.J. Watt. He has a lot to say about it. So I'm going to go to the story here presented by NFL.com. It says the Houston Texans stumbled out of the gate with a 1-6 record, fired their coach / GM, and looks very much like a team that's starting over. Rebuilding isn't much in the mindset of the 31-year-old star pass rusher J.J. Watt. A decade into his NFL career, the 3-time Defensive Player of the Year has no time left for a hefty renovation plan. Watt was asked Wednesday if he believes he'll finish his career in Houston. And listen to what he's, well, I'm going to read his quote, right? Here's what he said. He says, I don't think it's any secret that I don't have 10 years left in this league. You know, I personally believe that I do have a few more great ones left in me, but you also can't. I'm not looking to rebuild. I'm looking to go after a championship, and that's what I want to do. So whatever is in the best interest of the Houston Texans, that's what's in the best interest of myself. So it doesn't take a professional tea leaf reader to understand that Watt might see his time in Houston come to an end. The veteran defensive lineman has 1 season left on his contract extension, or $17.5 million. With none of that money guaranteed, Sox could agree to a clean break in the event of a massive rebuild next offseason. With no first or second round pick next year because of Bill O'Brien, any rebuild could take time in Houston after it hires its new general manager and coaching staff, and players like Watt, who have done so much in the Houston community. They obviously prefer to win with the franchise they have committed their careers to. After 6 AFC South titles with just 4 playoff wins, Watt isn't blind to the fact that it could take more time than he has left for Houston to claw his way back to the top of the division. And he says this, early in your career, you think life goes on forever. Obviously, we win our first ever division, our first ever playoff game in my first year. In the second year, we go 12-4, and you think that life's going to be great. And you're just going to keep getting better and better. And then you go 2-14. And the reality of the business out of NFL and the reality of all things that come along with it hit you in the face. And you realize that, oh, this isn't roses all the time. And then you look at the last 7 years or so. And yeah, we won some division championships and that's great, but that's not the goal. That is not the goal. You know, your goal can't be to make the playoffs and just make the playoffs. Your goal can't be to win 1 or 2 playoff games. Your goal is not to win the Super Bowl. If your goal is not to win the Super Bowl, and your goal is not to do everything in your power to make that happen and make your organization the best possible situation for that, then it's not going to happen. So that's my goal. That's why the work goes in. That's why I fall back from these injuries, because that's the goal, and that's what I'm still working towards. So with all that being said, you know, he's like, I had enough. You know, I watched over the last 2 seasons, you know, this team pretty much implode under the weight of the head coach / general manager. Now, listen, depending on who you talk to, some people were very upset with the fact that, you know, Bill O'Brien was granted all that power. And you know, kind of remind me of what happened in Philadelphia with Chip Kelly. You know, kind of it's like the same type of process. You know, they give Chip Kelly all his power. He starts, you know, letting players go and trade players away and doing all kind of crazy stuff to upset the status quo in that city. And then, of course, he ends up losing his job. And the same thing happened with Bill O'Brien. The same exact situation, right? And it is what it is, you know. And now it looks like they're going to really lose it. So you trade away Sammy Watkins, which was your best offensive weapon. And now your best defensive weapon is saying, I'm checking out, because he don't believe in the system anymore. He feel like, you know, that he can't win a championship in Houston when just 2 years ago this team was in championship contention. It's crazy to even think about it. But it is what it is, right? I mean, what can we really do about it? I mean, it ain't really much to really, you know, to break apart there. Like, the team was winning, and, you know, all those back-to-back, you know, division. Now, granted, The division was a little bit soft with Jacksonville, Tennessee still trying to find themselves. We had a little burst. There was a little burst from Jacksonville about 2 years ago. They made a splash, you know, and then it faded away very quickly, you know, with some crazy front office moves, traded away a bunch of talent, broke apart that very awesome defensive squad that they had, and that was that, right? Tennessee had quarterback issues. They, you know, their face of their franchise, Marcus Mariota was having issues. They ended up having to bench him in favor of a journeyman from Miami and Ryan Tannehill. And it wasn't until we saw the rise of the running back, you know, Henry, that we saw them really, really get themselves back on track. And the defense is coming together. They got a nice thing going in Tennessee right now, you know. And then, of course, you got Indianapolis, and they haven't recovered really fully since the departure of Peyton Manning. You know, we had the Andrew Luck situation, and they looked good for a few years there with Andrew Luck. And, I mean, unfortunately, you know, he had to step away from the game. And then, of course, it's been a cycle of bad or average, below average quarterbacks since then. And, you know, Jacoby Brissett and Phillip Rivers and so on and so forth. So it's been kind of a cakewalk for Houston. They kind of had it easy. You know, you're getting 6 wins, the average of 6 wins handed to you, just like New England Patriots did for all those years. You know, all you really got to do is win a few games out there in the regular season, take care of the division, which is super easy to do because the division sucks. And you got yourself a playoff berth and you got yourself a division title. And, I mean, it don't take a genius to figure that out, right? And so while some people might have looked at Bill O'Brien like he accomplished a whole lot of stuff in Houston, the lay of the land pretty much made his job easy. So things kind of fell in his lap. And that's why he rose to power so quickly. And that's why the power wasn't really, really warranted. And that's the reason why things kind of ended up the way they did. Because, you know, when you don't work or you don't earn things properly, they blow up in your face. This is the way it works, right? I wish JJ Watt all the best in the world. I have no idea what a good landing spot would be for him. He said he in the part of his career where he's looking to win a championship. Man, what would be a good? I mean, they can't possibly squeeze no more talent down there in Tampa, right? They've called everybody they could possibly call to come and play with Tom Brady in Tampa and make it unfair for the rest of the league. So you know, I don't know if they can either afford to bring him down there to Tampa or if that's a good look. I mean, their defense in Tampa seem to be sewn up pretty good, but I'm trying to think who's a championship quality defense that he can join and instantly, you know, make better and get them to the point where they can get themselves into Super Bowl contention. I don't know. Maybe Kansas City, they could probably use them, right? I don't know. Can't really think of no, but Denver, nah. Denver's nowhere near, you know, winning a championship. I think if you go to Denver, you might as well stay in Houston, right? You know, nowhere in this division. Maybe Tennessee, you know, going to a division rival, that would make some eyebrows raise, right? You know, Tennessee. I would think if everywhere that I look and I can think would be a good spot for him to go, where he can actually vie for a championship right away, I'm thinking it's probably going to be Tennessee because Tennessee, Baltimore, you know, maybe Pittsburgh. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like those teams, maybe if they can afford the price tag, because it ain't going to be cheap. I mean, maybe it would be cheap because, you know, maybe at the point of his career where he is going to take the hometown discount. You know what I mean? Because, you know, most players who are in the he's a 10-year vet. You know, most people who are in that and they ain't won a championship yet, they want to win, and maybe they'll do it for next to nothing because, you know, I mean, JJ Watt made, you know, crazy amount of money. So I don't think he really hurt him for no cash. I don't think money is going to be the thing. I think he really wants to go to a team where he can contend right away. So, look, we'll keep an eye on that one and see what happens. You know, we got the trade deadline coming up next week. That kind of thing. I doubt if they let him out of the contract this quickly, but, you know, maybe Houston is trying to line their cars up so they can, you know, get themselves in a good draft position or whatever, you know. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, you know what I mean? But we know for sure that J.J. Watt is ready to go. He didn't feel like sticking around, right? So, again, we made that huge fuss last week. Oh, no, not last week. The week before last. When, you know, the Miami Dolphins coming off this fantastic victory where they completely smoked. Oh, my God, I can't even remember who the opponent was that day. Was it the Dallas Cowboys? I think it was the Dallas Cowboys. completely destroyed the Dallas Cowboys. And so Brian Flores decided, hey, let's go ahead and bring in our young gun, the future of our franchise, and see what we got. You know what I mean? And then, okay, and everybody thought that was great. I mean, even Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was a starting quarterback that day, thought it was, I thought it was an amazing moment. I cheered for this moment because I thought it was great. You know, and I love seeing when, you know, the old guy kind of takes a back seat, in a moment like that and like I said, Ryan Fitzpatrick was on the sidelines. He was cheering for young Tua to come into the game. It was a feel good moment. Nobody had a problem with nothing that was happening, except for maybe if you're Dallas or whatever, right? And then, of course, later on, you know, we get the reports that, you know, the Brian Flores and the Miami brass decided, hey, listen, I think we saw what we needed to see out of young Tua. We're going to go ahead and name him as the starter. Everybody was shocked, including Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, who had a lot to say in the interview following. He was, you know, he claimed he was heartbroken. He claimed he was very upset with the news. He had no idea it was coming. I didn't either. You know what I mean? And, you know, me and the fellas got together on Team Boy TV Live and we discussed it in depth. And, you know, all of us were on the same page and we thought it was a mistake and it was maybe not the best thing to do, especially not when they were, you know, had, you know, nice camaraderie. You know, Fitzpatrick was doing a pretty decent job. And we know the story about, you know, Fitzpatrick. He'll play well for a few, you know, few games and he'll get everybody rallying around him and the hype will start building up. And then when you start, you know, relying on him to play well and you start depending on him to kind of come in and put in the work, he kind of shrivels up and kind of like, you know, diminishes right in front of your eyes. And we've seen it happen time and time again. And maybe Flores is like, you know, let's make the change now before we get to that point because we know this is going to happen. We know that Fitzpatrick is going to fizzle out. So we might as well do it now. Either way, the decision was made. The young boy was named the starter, right? They had a bye week to prepare. So, you know, they gave him an extra week to get himself together. Then, you know, they came out. They ended up having to face the L.A. Rams, which I was nervous for because Aaron Donald and all that crazy pass rush that they got in L.A., well, they definitely put Tua on his back. They hurt him a little bit. They welcomed him to the NFL the proper way. But at the same time, something magical happened. The team rallied around the young quarterback, even though he didn't have a huge impact on the game as far as, like, his contribution to the game. I don't know what his stats were, but they weren't very impressive. He didn't really add anything. But the defense and the special team showed out that day. They had a couple turnovers. Scored off pick six, like two of them, I think. They wild out that day. They had an amazing outing for the young kid, and everything was right in the world in Miami because we got our shiny new quarterback, and you know he didn't suck in his debut, you know, but he wasn't great in his debut, but he didn't suck because the team kind of carried him and whatnot. It was beautiful, you know, but that just kind of raises the question like. Now, was this a good idea? You know, because, you know, you got the win and you got it in dramatic fashion and it was beautiful, but the quarterback that you brought in didn't, contribute to the win. And now are you what you're thinking about. So let me tell you what Brian Flores is thinking about because he said what he was thinking. And so anybody who was thinking that maybe, he was on some other stuff and maybe he was feeling some type of regret. He here to tell you, nah, cuz, that ain't the case, right? So here it is, again, from NFL.com. Says, Brian Flores went out of his way to rebuke the notion that the Miami Dolphins handed the starting reins to Tua Tagovailoa in order to get a sense of whether he's the quarterback of the future or not. On Thursday, it was last week, the Dolphins coach strenuously repudiated a report that suggested Miami wanted to use the final 10 games of the season to evaluate whether Tua could be a long-term solution or whether the club might consider another QB in the 2021 draft. Wow. That's a mouthful right there, right? Here's a quote. There's a couple things out there. Let's call it a source close to the Dolphins, saying that we're auditioning Tua. I'm just going to tell you about my thinking. We brought Tua here because we believe in him, same as all the other draft picks. We believe in developing players and improving players on a daily basis. That would be the opposite of giving someone a 10-game audition. That's just my thinking on that. Just so everybody clear. Just so everybody know what's going on. This ain't no idea. Just look, I didn't think that. Cause I mean, a 10 game audition, that's a lot to gamble your season on when coaches get fired, like nobody's business. Like, you know, a club can turn on a coach just like that. So you don't want to play around. Like, let's get the rookie and give him 10 games to prove himself. No, you don't do that unless you absolutely don't have an option, right? And they had an option in Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, you know, I don't believe, you know, that this is what they were doing. But, you know, it was weird because they was having a Zoom call or whatever. You know how they do, like, because that's how they do the press conferences now. They have it, like, over Zoom or whatever. And it says Flores' comment came unprovoked, per the reporters on the call, underscoring the coach's desire to get in front of any narrative that could hinder his young QB's confidence. The report suggested was that Miami owning the Houston Texans first-round pick, which is currently sits at number 6 overall, the Dolphins could be in position to draft another signal caller like the Arizona Cardinals did and immediately moving on from Josh Rosen in favor of Kyler Murray. It's possible Miami could view a 2021 prospect to be a significant upgrade on Tua. Wow. I mean, this is crazy, right? The thought of that. I mean, okay, so with all the hoopla, I don't know if you guys remember going into the draft last year. Now, you know, we had the Justin Herbert, Burrows. We had a few. It was a few names. I think Burrows ended up going number 1 overall, I think it was, right? But it was a lot of hoopla around Tua Tagovailoa, and you know where he was going to land and where he was going to go, and so on and so forth. You know, there was a lot of noise, and now we're talking about, you know, moving away, and you know, maybe, you know, we just don't draft him because he was there. I don't know. I feel like with the limited resources that you got when it comes to draft picks and things like that. You don't just draft folks just because they're there. I don't know, unless you plan on dealing them away later or whatever the case may be. I don't know. First, the Dolphins will need to see how the rookie looks against NFL defenses for a significant stretch. Thus, the 10-game audition, right? Flores underscored his belief that Tagovailoa is the Dolphins QB of the future, and his insertion into the lineup had nothing to do with any 10-game beta test. He says, I'm comfortable with what comes out of these 10 games. Since I've been here, I think everybody has heard me talk about the development of players, improvement on a daily basis. I just don't see how somebody close to the Dolphins thinking can say that this will be a 10-game audition. Not sure where or who that came from. I don't know. It was because, you know what, I can see why somebody would think that, you know what I mean? But at the same time, let's look at the landscape. Let's see what's going on for the Miami Dolphins right now. You know, in a much, you know, talked about and documented, you know, move, Tom Brady, who was the king of the AFC East for 20 years, made his, you know, his departure and went down south. And that was a big deal because that opens up the whole entire division for anybody to take it now, right? So you got the up-and-coming Buffalo Bills, right? You know, you got this Miami Dolphins team who's still trying to, you know, get themselves together, right? And of course, you got the Jets. We ain't gonna worry about the Jets, right? But because the Jets suck so bad, and because Tom Brady is no longer in New England, that leaves Buffalo and Miami to slug it out, right? So, you know, Tom Brady's gone. Enter Tua. You know, we see what's going on with Josh Allen and stuff is happening in Buffalo, and they've been proving themselves. They made the playoffs last year after an 18-year stretch or whatever. They've proven themselves. So, you know, for Miami to be gambling the way they're gambling, you know, that's why I don't know why Coach decided to make that quarterback change. And it's hard to prove that it was a mistake at this point because we've only seen one game. Very small sample size for young Tua. And they won the game. And again, they won the game in dramatic fashion. So it's really hard to draw any kind of conclusions on whether it was a good idea, was it a bad idea, what exactly are the Miami Dolphins doing right now? You know, it's hard to tell. We need a few more games to see. And this is where the thought, and that's what I'm saying, like whoever this reporter was who asked that question, now that I'm thinking about it, because the more I sit here and talk about it, the more I'm thinking about it, I think it was a legitimate question, right? Because you have no explanation on why you benched Fitzpatrick in favor of, you know, the rookie. What was the reason? You never came out and said anything, right? So, you know, and then we look at what's happening. And so, yeah, it looked like you're gambling. That's what it looked like, right? So let's look at, you know, how to his day went on his debut, right? His first start, not his debut, because his debut happened, you know, against that, in that blowout or whatever, right? So in his first start, Tua completed 12 of 22 passes for 93 yards, one touchdown in his first career start. The QB wasn't asked to do much as the Dolphins blitzed their way to a 28-17 win over the Rams. Starting with Sunday's game against the Cardinals, expect Tua to have more on his plate. I'm hoping to see more because that wasn't much. 12 of 22 for 93 yards. That's all he contributed to the game. That one touchdown, it was spectacular. It was beautiful. It was awesome. And it kind of showed some, you know, little tiny little flashes of what could be. You know, I thought it was great. You know, well, we need to see some consistency. I need to see him in a situation where he got to think on his feet and that kind of thing. So again, we'll find out, you know, time will tell whether or not, you know, this decision was a good one, or was this the worst thing that the Dolphins could do at the absolute worst time, you know, ever. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it turns out, right? So that's how that works out, right? So with that right there, we're going to take a quick break. And we come back, we're going to look at this playoff picture for the first time this season. You know what I mean? Well, for me, it won't be the first time because I looked at it last night on a live show. But tonight, we're going to look at it again on Sunday's Best. We'll take a look at the position and see what's going on and that kind of thing. So we shall return in a second.
What up, peeps? This your boy Glass, a.k.a. The Sage of Sports, and I have my own podcast, The Sage of Sports Podcast, where we talk everything and anything about the current topics in the sports world. I have the hot takes, talk about the latest news, players, trades, and transactions, scores, and my weekly NFL picks. So while you run on them errands, doing them chores, checking stuff off your honey-do list, go ahead, pop in your earbuds, click on the Sage Sports Podcast, take a listen, and be entertained.
Sunday's Best is brought to you in part by Sweetwater Music and Pro Audio. Since 1979, Sweetwater has been home for all music lovers, DJs, broadcasts, podcasters, and live streamers. The collection includes an impressive selection of guitars, microphones, DJ equipment, keyboards, drums and percussion, pro mixers, channel strips, accessories, and more from popular brands. You can save on names like Yamaha, Behringer, Rode, M-Audio, Shure, Sennheiser, and Slate Digital. On top of the amazing products offered at Sweetwater, you can go online and read their news and research from artists and experts in the industry. Sweetwater prides themselves on providing top-notch customer service. So if you ever have a question, you can count on the music experts at Sweetwater to resolve your issue. When you shop, just remember to use one of our Sweetwater coupons that I've included in the link in our show notes. Sweetwater is Pro Audio. And we are back to Sunday's Best. Again, I'm your boy Big Q, representing Team Boyd TV. And again, I would invite you guys to click the links that I have in the show notes, man. Show some support for the podcast, man. And whatever platform you're watching it on, make sure you go ahead and hit a like, subscribe. Make sure you can get them downloads going, and leave a comment, man. So like, I like when, you know, somebody can tell me what I can do better, what you guys liked about the podcast, what parts y'all can, you know, I can scrap. Like, you know, we don't need to do that no more. Let's, we can move on from that. It's fine. I mean, constructive criticism is a beautiful thing. I definitely appreciate it. I also would like to invite you guys to follow me on all my social media platforms, man. I think I'm a pretty interesting dude. You know, sometimes I like to share some cool stuff, especially anything that got to do with the NFL, man. You can hit me up on Twitter at Team Boyd TV. Same thing on my Instagram is at Team Boyd TV. And also you can join me and my fellas, Glass, JB, everybody else over at the Urban Arena Facebook page. It's going to be facebook.com/ Urban Arena Media. Now, listen, let's get into this playoff picture. It's early. You know what I mean? Let me preface it by saying that it's like super duper mad early, but it is the first game of the second half of the season. So I feel like it's a good time for us to take a look, a peek. Just a small little peek into the playoff picture, just to kind of see where everybody sit right now and if we got room for some drama to unfold later on in the season. So we'll start on the AFC side of things, right? And of course, we know the Pittsburgh Steelers are sitting currently 7-0, first place, AFC North. The Steelers are the only undefeated team left in the NFL and hold a half-game edge over the Chiefs for home field advantage, which is also now the lone bye in the AFC playoffs. They don't play the Chiefs head-to-head. So they don't have to worry about seeing the Chiefs. until later on. You know what I'm saying? In fact, if they navigate the playoffs properly, they might can get away without even having to see the Chiefs at all, unless they can end up meeting in the AFC Championship game. That would be the only time they would be able to play. So if they want to keep going on this roller down, because I don't want to be the one to say it. I don't want to be the one to say that strength of schedule has kind of been in Pittsburgh's favor. I don't want to be the one to say that, but it's a thing. It's out there. You know what I mean, right? So that brings us to our number two, the Kansas City Chiefs, 7-1. First place, again, for the AFC West. The Chiefs had their blemish against the Raiders and can't let up in the second half, with the Steelers finding a way to keep winning every week. Kansas City does have a tougher overall schedule than Pittsburgh, you know. And I will say this, again, the COVID-19, Pittsburgh, it helped them out. That's all I'm saying. I just want people to, like, at the end of the season, if it comes down to it, I want people to understand that in this 2020 COVID-19 season, and me and JB, we talked about this before the season kicked off. We knew that COVID was going to hurt some people. It was going to hurt some people. And we also knew it was going to help some people. And right now, Pittsburgh is benefiting from the COVID-19. I'm just saying. I know right now I'm the only one saying it, but it is what it is, right? Number three, surprisingly, or is it a surprise? 6-2, Buffalo Bills, first place in the AFC East. The Bills lost to the Chiefs, who are ahead of them by a full game. They also lost to the Titans, who are half game behind. The Patriots are fading fast, and the Bills are now trying to protect a 2.5 game lead over the Dolphins. They probably will end up being locked into the seed. I believe so. The fellas last night said the Buffalo Bills would not be the one that was going to. Yeah, let's talk about the wild card. I was talking about Cleveland, but they were talking about Buffalo as well. Saying that Buffalo might get bumped in favor of Baltimore or somebody like that moving up. I don't know. I like Buffalo's spot only because of the division that they're in, and the Patriots are posing no threat. And it looked like the Buffalo Bills may run unopposed because, I mean, the Dolphins are so far back. Unless something tragic happened to Buffalo, it's a pretty much a lock, in my opinion, right? That brings us the Tennessee Titans, first place, 5-2, AFC South. The Titans have dropped two consecutive games as a starting 5-0, allowing the Colts, whom they have yet to play, to tie them in record. They hold the tiebreaker now with a 2-0 division record. Again, the Titans dropped that game to Pittsburgh. It's not been pretty for the Titans. They got to get their mojo back, and I think they will. Pittsburgh kind of laid out that blueprint on how to slow Derrick Henry down a little bit. It was kind of embarrassing what they did to him in that game and that kind of thing. But I do believe Tennessee will get their mojo back. The issue is with Tennessee is that they're going to be tangling with some big boys in the postseason. And we saw what happened last season. You know, they knocked off a pretty good competitor in the Patriots last year. And then they ran into that buzzsaw in Kansas City. So we'll see if they learn anything from that. And if, you know, if they can get back. Because that's, to me, I think that is going to be their brick wall. So depending on how the seeding shakes out, you know, over the next, you know, few weeks when we get there, everybody trying to hold on to their spots or whatever. You know, I do believe that Tennessee going to run up against Kansas City one more time. And that's going to be the test. And that's where their focus should be. Because I think Kansas City is the one standing in their way. So that gives us the Baltimore Ravens 5-2. They're in second place in the AFC North behind the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Ravens lost to the Steelers and the Chiefs, and it puts their chances of winning division again with another top seed, at a long shot. Now they need to focus on beating the Colts, Patriots, Titans, and Steelers in the next month. I think the Colts game should be an easy win. The Patriots game shouldn't be that much of a problem. The Titans and Steelers, them two games, I'm kind of worried about them. You know what I mean? Like, and of course, you know, we talked about it last night. We talked about Lamar Jackson. He was the focal point of the show last night. We talked about Lamar Jackson and how he dominates in regular games, but then when the lights turn on bright on a Monday night divisional matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers or somebody like that, he shrinks. He shrinks under the spotlight. And, you know, we've seen his playoff postseason, his postseason record. It ain't looking too good for Lamar Jackson right now. And he got a lot of people worried, including me, that he can't win the big one. He can let it shake that one, right? So we'll see. Again, this situation here over the next month, they got two games that they can definitely win. And they got two big games that we can see how Lamar Jackson responds against the Titans and the Steelers again. So we'll see how that plays out, right? At the sixth seed, we got the Indianapolis Colts, second place in the AFC South. The Colts pulled even with the Titans in Week 8. They have weird losses to the Jags and the Browns, but have otherwise been solid in the strength of their defense. That loss to Cleveland could hurt later in the tiebreakers if they can't jump up to take the division, which they won't, right? So I think if anybody falls out of contention early, it's Indy, right? But then, of course, you know, division play might keep them around because, you know, Houston ain't providing no type of spark. And of course, you know, everything else is falling apart. Only thing you really got is Tennessee, and Tennessee is already kind of stomping them down a little bit. But, you know, right now they locked in with Tennessee. So if they play their cards right, but I doubt it. I think Tennessee will be the one that's moving on. Indy will be the one that's falling down. Now here are, now people might say I'm a little bit biased here, but you know, if you guys notice that the, in this current playoffs picture, the AFC North has three representatives. They have the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Cleveland Browns at 5-3, third place AFC North. The Browns have a half game lead over the Raiders, to whom they just lost, and the Dolphins, who are also 4-3. They won't be winning the division or getting in second place after bad losses to the Steelers and the Ravens. But they also have to play the Steelers and the Ravens again. And we also know that they are good for beating the Steelers and the Ravens at least once per season. I like Cleveland's chances now. They're moving up, you know, from the 7th seed to like maybe the 4 or 5. It's going to be tough. They're going to have a tough road to go. I think we have lost OBJ for the season. I think we probably lost OBJ as a Brown altogether. I don't think he ever going to suit up in a Cleveland Browns jersey ever again. So the Cleveland Browns got a tough road to go. But I do believe in them. I think they will give us some entertainment in the postseason. They will make it to the postseason. Okay. Those are the 7 teams that we have, that are actually seeded right now, at week 9. I mean, you don't really mean much at the particular moment, but who else can get into the Vegas Raiders? Las Vegas Raiders at 4-3. They still got a shot. The Miami Dolphins at 4-3. Believe it or not, still got a shot. The Denver Broncos at 3-4. They were sub 500. They still got a shot. It depends on, you know, how they navigate the rest of the season. They still got a shot. The Bengals, believe it or not, 2-5-1. The worst team. Not the worst. No, they're not the worst team in the AFC. I think that distinction goes to the Jets. But they're the second to the worst team in the AFC. So at 2-5-1, they still got a shot. And that's what the AFC looked like. So, you know, I like it. Who's done for the Patriots are done. 2-5, it's over for them. The Chargers, 2-5, it's over for them. They're done. The Texans at 1-6, come on. They don't even have a shot. They're done. The Jacksonville Jaguars, 1-6, it's over for them. Just like the New York Jets, who have yet to win a football game. Of course, they ain't going nowhere quick, right? So that was the AFC. Let's get into the NFC, right? Which, yeah, this one, to me, I think is a little bit more straightforward. I don't think we have nearly as many standout teams in the NFC as we do in the AFC, which is weird because, you know, just like 4 or 5 seasons ago, the NFC was the conference that had all the razzle dazzle. Now we see that coming out of the AFC. But anyway, we got the number one seeded Seattle Seahawks, 6-1, first place in the NFC West. The division is tough, but the Seahawks are getting some separation for the 49ers because they have nobody to line up. Everybody on the team is hurt. And the Rams, right, who have, you know, the last couple games been rough for them. The Cardinals, who handed them their only loss, are the new top threat to keep them from taking back the throne after just missing in 2019. Russell Wilson already has won the MVP race. I don't know if I agree with that. Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But the Seahawks hold on to the number one spot. It's going to be tough, man, because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are right there. They are right there on them. You know what I'm saying? And Tampa... And it's hard for me to kind of do this because, you know, I'm an NFC South guy. And, you know, this whole situation in Tampa worried me back in July. I was worried about this in July. And since then, they have added on to the team. And they just keep adding on and just keep adding on. And, man, this is crazy. I think by the time we get into the cold weather, right, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be that unstoppable force. I mean, right now, they only lost 2 games. Tom Brady down there, you know, calling all his friends, you know, get everybody down there, you know. But Tom Brady is putting them in the driver's seat in the division as expected. but it's also what they're getting done. And with the running game, defense, and special teams, they might be trending to become the best, most complete team in the conference by week 17. And I do agree with that. That's exactly what I was saying. You know, they come in for Seattle. I don't think there's a head-to-head matchup between them and Seattle on the schedule. Been nice to see. But we won't get that pleasure into the postseason. But, you know, I just think, you know, Seattle have been lucky. As long as they can stay away from Tampa, they might can hold on to that number one seed. But, man, because they've been playing fantastic football. But I just feel like Tampa eventually, you know, I feel like Tampa has better odds of winning these remaining games than some of the games that Seattle's going to run into. I think Seattle has a better chance of losing those big games than Tampa does, right? So you got the Green Bay Packers at 3 spot, 5-2, first place NFC North. Packers have lost 2 out of their past 3 games, missed a chance to pull away from the Bears in the division with the Vikings and the Lions fading. They are a good bet to lock down at least the season soon. Green Bay did already lose to Tampa and beat New Orleans, but they don't get a chance to play Seattle. So they don't get a chance to knock off no big fish through the rest of the way, but that's a good thing because their hardest test, the hardest part of their schedule they've actually just completed. I think they played tonight, if I'm not mistaken, and it's a get-right game because they did get smacked around by Tampa a little bit, and I think they need to get themselves back together, right? And this ridiculous NFC East, the NFC East doesn't deserve, you know, to be even having a representative, and to send a representative to the playoffs with a sub-500 record is crazy. But it is what it is. The Philadelphia Eagles 3-4-1, first place 3-4-3. Let's let that sink in for a second. 3-4-1, first place in the NFC. Right? It is what it is, right? The Eagles would be far out of wild card contention with this record, but it's good enough to give them a strong lead in the division after beating the Giants and the Cowboys back to back. And they can't expect to finish higher than this, but they do. Get direct shots at the Packers and the Saints, which they will get smacked hard. And if it wasn't for the NFC East sucking so hard, the Eagles wouldn't even. I mean, what, like talking about them in playoffs, like they're gonna show up just to get blown out of the stadium. It's crazy, right? New Orleans 5-2, second place in the NFC South. The Saints are a half game behind the Bucks and desperately need the season sweep of the series. Tampa for Week 9, they can finish anywhere from number 1 to number 7 in the end, except for number 4. I like New Orleans, but I like them. But, you know, it's weird because the NFC South really then came down to just Tampa and New Orleans. And New Orleans is just there because, you know, they really haven't made any mistakes and, you know, that kind of thing. They just I don't really think they're that good. They've been playing, you know, some pretty decent opponents, you know, Dallas, Minnesota, stuff like that. And then, of course, you know, you got Carolina and Atlanta who both suck real, real bad. So, you know, they kind of there by proxy, you know. You got the Cards at number 6, 5-2, second place in the NFC West. So, NFC West got 2 representatives. NFC South has 2 representatives in this playoff picture so far. And the Cards got a well-timed bye to help them continue their playoff surge with Kyler Murray in the second half. Like the Seahawks, they would need to keep taking advantage of a weak slate. Absolutely. And then, of course, we bring up the rear with the Rams, 5-3, third place in the NFC West. The Rams have the hold on the last spot for now, thanks to their head-to-head win over the Bears in Week 7. The Bears can still get into it, 5-3, because they pretty much got the same record as the Rams. But, you know, of course, they lost to the Rams, so that's the reason why they're on the outside looking in. The 49ers, you know, mathematically speaking, they still got a shot. But, you know, reality going to say they're not going to make too much further because, you know, unless somebody step out of that next man up mentality, they're going to have to kick in hard at 4-4. The San Francisco 49ers still got a shot. Lions sub 500, 3-4. Technically, they still got a shot. And my Carolina Panthers at 3-5. Technically, mathematically, they still got a shot. But I can tell you this, if Carolina can't figure out how to score when they get into the red zone, they can kiss this season. Well, I'm pretty sure it's this, you know, if you're a Carolina Panthers fan and you thought Carolina was going to make the playoffs this season, then you've been mistaken from the get go. Who's done? The Washington football team at 2-5, they are finished. The Minnesota Vikings at 2-5, they are done. It's just now, instead of playing for a playoff spot, you're playing for draft position, right? That's what we're playing for. Dallas Cowboys, unfortunately, the bottom fell out of Dallas Cowboys season this season. And everything that could possibly go wrong in Dallas has went wrong in Dallas. And they are out, 2-6. The Atlanta Falcons, pretty much done. They're 2-6. The New York Giants, yes, they're done at 1-7. So, you know, those squads, you know, this is, you got to jockey for it. I ain't saying, like, and it's weird when you play this game, like, you know, the second half of the season, you see that you definitely don't have a shot on making the playoffs, but, you know, you still, now you got to play this other game within the game, and that's the draft position game. And I don't like that because, you know, teams be losing on purpose and all that kind of crazy stuff. I don't really like that. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's part of the game. It's part of what we do, right? You know what I mean? So we're going to go ahead and put a nice big bow on the show by, excuse me, by looking at these picks for next week. And I was pretty rough, finished terrible. I think I don't even know if I was 500, last week with my picks. I think I was pretty bad. I think I only got 4 games correct. I think I crashed out on the rest of them. Let's hope I do better this week. Let's see what we got on tap and let's get it going. So here we go. We're going to kick the game off tonight in a few hours. We got the Green Bay Packers versus the San Francisco 49ers in Santa Clara. Again, San Francisco 49ers beat and bruised. I ain't hardly got nobody to bring to the game tonight. Green Bay coming off that loss. They're a little bit upset. It's gonna be terrible. I think the Green Packers win this game by at least 2 touchdowns. Kicking off things on Sunday, we have the New York Giants facing off against the Washington football team. And I don't know who got much stock in this game, but I want to watch and see what they do with the development of one Daniel Jones. I'm watching and keeping an eye on that. That's the story in New York right now. It ain't about how many games they win or lose. It's about watching the development of Daniel Jones, right? That's what it's all about, right? And of course, I got New York in this game. I think they win this one, right? They won their first game last week, right? And I think they win this one too. Okay, of course, we got the Chicago Bears going to Tennessee. Tennessee, a little bit upset, you know, trying to get their set back together and try to break away from the Indianapolis Colts. So Chicago was definitely a tough team to go up against, but Tennessee at home, I like them in a grind out game. Chicago's defense is real, but Tennessee know how to push that ball downfield and punch it into the end zone. I like Tennessee in this game by about 6. Right, Detroit division game. Detroit going to Minnesota, who's not very good at the moment, but Detroit quiet has kept been kind of winning a few games on a low. They're kind of doing their thing on a low. Minnesota, you know, after trading away everybody, you know, and not really having much of an offense, man, they look terrible, right? You know, they're just not very good this season. I like Detroit in this one. Detroit takes that one home. Carolina Panthers, my Carolina Panthers, unfortunately, got to take their trip out west to face off against the Kansas City Chiefs, and I really don't see no scenario, period. And I'm the most diehard Panthers fan you're going to find around here. I don't see any chance at all for Carolina in this game. Hopefully they make it interesting. I got Kansas City by 2 scores, right? And, of course, we got another divisional matchup. Houston Texans travel to Jacksonville in a sleeper game. I don't really know who really has much interest in this game at all. Maybe we'll see Deshaun Watson do some stuff. I don't like the Houston Texans on the road. I'm taking the home team, Jacksonville. Houston continue to play the draft pick game, you know what I mean? Another good game. This one's going to be good. Baltimore got to get themselves together. Of course, we saw them take that horrendous loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. They got a nice chance to get themselves together here against Indy. They're going on the road to Indy. I think, you know, this is a game that Lamar Jackson definitely will show out in. And again, just like we saw with 3 turnovers last week, watch what the numbers that he put up this week. It's going to be ridiculous, right? I'm going to say it now. I think the dude will throw for 3 touchdowns, have about 320 yards passing or whatever, and maybe another 80 yards on the ground or whatever, you know what I mean, right? This is probably one of the most interesting games in that early time slot. You have the Denver Broncos, Seattle Seahawks going to Buffalo. And this one's going to be interesting because, you know, I think if this game was in Seattle, you know, Seattle might have I know Seattle just took that L. They having them lose 2 games in a row, I don't know. But I like what Buffalo's doing right now. I like them at home. I like them at home this time of year as well. I'm gonna throw it out there. Upset alert, Buffalo Bills over the Seattle Seahawks. Okay, then we go from the Denver Broncos go down south to the ATL. And this was interesting. You know, ever since the little dude Drew Lock came back to Denver, they've been showing some sort of life. Still not been able to generate a lot of offense, kicking a lot of field goals and whatnot. If Atlanta can figure, we saw them use Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley to their advantage against Carolina last week. Maybe they do the same. It goes against everything in my power, but I'm going to pick Atlanta over Denver in this game here. We have the Las Vegas Raiders versus the Los Angeles Chargers. A game that really, the Chargers, I don't know what's going on with them. They're shriveling. They got to figure out what's going on. I like Las Vegas. Las Vegas is doing pretty good. I thought maybe, and I guess maybe because it's a COVID year, and fans are not really having that much impact on a lot of these games. That's the reason why Las Vegas is probably kind of, squeaking out these wins. I don't know. It's just weird seeing them have, that positive record the way they got it. And I don't really think they're that good, but I think they're good enough to beat the Chargers on this day. And then you got the Pittsburgh Steelers facing off against the Dallas Cowboys. And man, I don't know how many different ways we can embarrass the Dallas Cowboys this season. We've seen all kind of stuff happen to the Dallas Cowboys. And this one's going to be rough, man. This is one of the kind of games where, I see it pop up on the schedule and I kind of like, we got to cover my eyes a little bit because, it's going to be that ugly. Don't see no scenario where Dallas is going to be able to beat Pittsburgh, but, I don't even see no scenario where Dallas is going to make this interesting. I think, I don't know, are we still going with Ben DiNucci in this game? I think we're still going with Ben DiNucci in this game. I don't know. This game will only be interesting to Dallas fans. And unfortunately, Pittsburgh Steelers fans got to sit through it. It's terrible, right? You got the Miami Dolphins. This is a good matchup. Yeah, Tua versus Kyler. That's interesting to me. I think that's an interesting matchup. Seeing the Arizona defense and special teams against, this new look Miami offense. They got a little bit of speed on offense, and it's going to be interesting. I bet against the Miami Dolphins last week because they were going up against a formidable team in the Rams, and you would think that the Rams are a better squad than Arizona, but if Miami could beat the Rams, why wouldn't they be able to beat Arizona? But you know what? I like Arizona. I like what they're doing in Arizona. They looking like a complete squad. This is a team that's ready to challenge the Seattle Seahawks, so I really don't think that they're going to be worried about Miami all that much. I like Arizona in this game. And our final game of the evening on Sunday is that NFC South matchup between the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's going to be a very interesting game. The Saints got the Bucs in that first matchup, which makes me think that it's going to be kind of hard to beat Tom Brady two times in one season. I think the last person to do it was like Peyton Manning or somebody like that. I don't know. But I definitely don't see the Saints being able to do it. And Tampa is at home. I'm going to go with the Bucs in this one. Sadly, Saints. Now, if the Saints can complete that sweep, that's a beautiful thing. I'm all about it. But, sadly, I don't see this. I don't see that happen. I don't think that's what we're going to get to see. And then, of course, and what could possibly be, and this has been a trend for the last 3 weeks, the last game of the week has been the worst game of the week. For the last couple of weeks, now we got the New England Patriots going up to the Meadowlands to face off against the New York Jets. Honestly, this is one of them games, like, this is why people don't watch Monday night games. This is why, because they're terrible, right? Nobody wants to see this, right? But I do think the road team wins here because the Jets are probably going to go 0-16 more than likely. I think that's probably going to happen more than likely. I think that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see the Jets end up going winless this whole entire season. Or if they win a game, they'll win it super late in the season. And, it won't mean anything. So, we'll see. But as far as I can tell, I just don't think they're going to win. I don't think they're going to win at all. You know what I mean? I really don't do it. But that's going to do it for us this week on Sunday's Best, man. And I hope you guys enjoy the games. I think there's some good ones in there. There's some good games in there. It's also some bad ones in there. And I know the season ain't going the way that most people, I just definitely ain't going the way that me and the fellas thought I was going to go. A lot of surprises and wrinkles thrown in there. But it's still been entertaining. That's the thing. It's been entertaining. It's been nice and fun to watch. It's been good. I definitely want to tell everybody I appreciate the support that we've been getting on the live show. Everyone who comes out every week to support our show, we definitely appreciate it. The guys on YouTube and Urban Arena Facebook page, all our new fans over on sportscaster.io, we definitely appreciate all the tips and things you guys been doing over there. You guys been showing a lot of support, and if you guys keep still supporting the what we do, we'll keep on doing what we do. Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't have Ronnie with us this week. Maybe she'll join us again next week. We will see. But either way, it's been a pleasure. And of course, you guys make sure to hit that like and subscribe and leave a comment on the platform that you guys listen to the podcast on. And, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend, you know, that, you know, Tim Boy TV doing this podcast thing. And it's cool. You know, Lord willing, if everything works itself out the way it did this week, we'll be back here again next week and we'll do it again. And we'll see you guys then. Take it easy. Peace.